Hello, welcome to the chapter number 10, and this chapter is Capacity Management in Services Operations. You know, probably you would be wondering what is this capacity and what is capacity management, but capacity is all about the capacity of an organization or the services operation to satisfy the number of customers, to satisfy the variation in the demands which comes from the market, variations in the type of services which an organization wants to deliver. So all these uncertainties have to be managed with a limited capacity which is available, because if you have excess of capacity and if you are not delivering enough, there is also a problem. So what is that capacity which you need to have to serve the market and you are still profitable? So that is what is capacity management and all is all about. And in services operation, it is very critical and very crucial, because there is a lot of uncertainty in the services domain, especially in the services operations like McDonald's or KFC and all that, where you don't know when your customer is going to come, how many customers are going to come, how many number of servers you need to have, or how many number of people you need to have to serve the capacity. So we'll give you some examples, and then you will have a lot of clarity on what is this chapter and capacity. So some of the learning objectives which we decided could be the concept of capacity management. So what is this capacity all about? And what is the role of capacity management in services management? And how do we manage capacity with regards to change in the demand? Because as I have shared with you, this demand is something which is uncertain and very difficult to predict and monitor. Probably you can still monitor your demand after the demand has happened, but before what is here, or the prediction part of it or the forecasting part of it, is very, very challenging. Learn the importance of capacity in services businesses, and what is the importance of capacity? Means a very simple example is what is the means size of the plane is the capacity of the plane. So how many people are going to sit in a plane will be deciding the capacity of the plane. So what is the importance? So the bigger the planes, the better it is, or smaller the plane, the better it is. So it will be based on the type of demand. If your demand is high, then it is important for you, or it be business decision to increase the size of the plane. Otherwise, if there is no demand and if you have a big size plane, then a lot of seats will go vacant and you will say that service is perishable and you lose business. So that is where that importance of capacity comes in. Art of coping up with the available services, because finally you cannot say that I will have only this much capacity or that much demand. There you will need to balance between the capacity available and the demand in the market to be sustainable in the marketplace, because finally you have to sustain in the business and you will have to create some sustainable strategy to continue with the business models. So when you talk about what is capacity, so capacity management is the ability to balance demand from the customers and the ability of the service delivery system to satisfy the demand. So when you say management, means you are not having cut-to-cut capacity and cut-to-cut demand. So when you say, okay, I have a capacity and I am balancing my demand, keeping in mind that I am serving my customers and I am satisfying their demands. So this places an emphasis on understanding the nature of demand, which probably Lovelock has already described in the book which he has talked about services management and services marketing. Now, where he has shared a lot of things about the nature of demand and the uncertainty in the pattern of and second, he has also talked about managing capacity to meet the expected demand. So what is the capacity management, or what is the kind of capacity I need to have to manage this expected demand pattern? In services operation, capacity is a bigger challenge. In services operation, see, when you have a product or a physical goods system, you know that this is the capacity. Means capacity of a plant or a manufacturing unit could be, say, 100 cars a day or 100 cars per hour. So that is the capacity, and you say, okay, I know my capacity and I know how much can I produce. But in the service domain, say you would go to McDonald's. I'll give you a simple example of McDonald's. You go to McDonald's at around, say, 10 o'clock in the morning, and how many minutes you will have to wait in a queue? I don't think there will be any big queue unless and until that McDonald's is in front of a college or a very crowded place. So morning hours probably rush, or they are non-peak hours for McDonald's kind of business, and number of people required could be little less. So capacity at that time is less because the demand is less. But the probably moment you move towards evening, say 6 o'clock in the evening till 9 o'clock, probably you see mad rush of people at the counters of McDonald's at the right place. So now here probably you need to increase your capacities to manage that kind of demand from the crowd. So that is where that capacity management. But this is like in the evening, you have say, you know that there is going to be some demand, and on that particular day or particular scenario, probably you have created your capacities, but there are no customers, and then there is a challenge. So that is the challenge, that customers are unpredictable. You don't know when the customer is going to come and when customer is not going to come. So in those scenarios, especially in the services, capacity management becomes a big challenge. When we say capacity management for a scenario, no, so it is basically based on the workshop and the type of roadmap you have and the type of process and procedures. So a lot of things when you talk about our business based model. So this is an ideal model when you say capacity establishment. So you know, the first figure, which is in the gray color, talks about what are the reasons I need to have capacity, and I need to check my demand patterns. I need to check about my operational processes. I also need to understand what is my capacity management success factors. So how do I manage those capacity management success factors? Is I will have to plan a lot of things with regards to capacity. I will have to manage my capacity. I will have to also ensure the performance and the operational excellence processes. I will also have to check about how this capacity performance analysis is being done, so that I ensure that I am not wasting my capacity in any way, and I am not having excess of capacity, because excess of capacity is also a loss to the business, because it is a direct cost to the business. So somebody can do this by use of technology, can be used without technology also, both ways. So it will depend on the size, volume, and the kind of demand pattern. So that is where that you need to have right things at the right place at the right time, and right profits, of course, with the capacity management. Here we are going to discuss something on what is this design capacity, what is effective capacity utilization, what is capacity planning. These are some of the terms being used in the service process management, services operations management, and largely in the operations management. These are very, very important terms, and because unless and until you have designed your capacities, you don't know what is your exact requirement based on your theoretical models. So you have something to calculate that, okay, if this is the kind of requirement I need to have or I need to generate for in terms of services, then I need to design my capacity accordingly. So something called design capacity. When I say what is my capacity, it is basically the throughput which I can hold, store, and all that. The effective capacity is important, because see, you can have a design capacity which is say 100% of the design capacity, but probably you may not be in a position to utilize 100% of the capacity available. So how much effectively are you utilizing? Suppose in a house, you know, probably when you talk about a flat in Bombay, so flat in Bombay could be say 640 square feet. Now 640 square feet is the capacity of that say house. So are we in a position to 100% utilize the 640, or are we still utilizing only 500 or 520 and all that, 70%, 80% of the available space? So that is effective capacity utilization. And what is the capacity available? Means the capacity which is actually available to you as a part of your design. But in the design, it is more of theoretical. It can be sometimes, you know, like when you design something and you need actually 3.5 people to serve that, but you cannot have 3.5 people. So you will have 4 people available. So capacity available is actually 4 people. So that is how that capacity available has a slight difference between the design capacity. Yeah, and effective capacity utilization could be, say, your need could be, say, requirement is 3.5, but out of that 3.5, you would be actually consuming only 3.2. But for consuming 3.2, you cannot have 3.2 people. You will have to either stretch the third person or have one more. So you cannot stretch the third person beyond a point, and you will have to have one more. So you have 4 person in place, and that is your effective capacity utilization could be 3.2. Your capacity available is 4 people, and your design capacity could be 3.5. So that is how, you know, scenarios are, and there are so many parameters which come into play when you talk about the real market scenarios. And that is the challenge when you say, oh, what is this capacity all about, and why do we need to get into capacity? And capacity is directly related to your cost also, because if the moment you have say your need is only 3.2 people, but you need to pay for 4 people, means you are actually adding cost, and this is a fixed cost when you talk about people cost. So if it is a fixed cost, you will also have to check your pricing when you talk about business pricing. So all that capacity is linked to your price, capacity is linked to your cost, capacity is linked to your demand. So capacity is linked to all the business parameters. Capacity is also linked to your lead times. If you have to deliver something, what is the lead time you will have? Because only your capacities will talk about your all those parameters, subject to or other things are constant or stable. Capacity is affected by change in the product specification. See, like if you change the production specification or the product specification or the service specification or the work content, then your capacity is affected. If you change your product mix, and I say product mix means different variation in the product type or length and the breadth of the product, probably if you change there, probably the work content changes, and if the work content changes, the total mix changes. If the total mix changes, capacity is affected. Plant and equipment which relates to the methods used to make the product. Now, if you change the process, if you change the methods of making things, then probably there can be an adverse effect on the capacity, or it can be, if it is a method which is an improvement or an improved version of the earlier method, probably you can increase your capacity with the same equipment. And work effort which relates to the speed or space at which the work is done. So wherever there is a speed is the variable, and if you feel that increasing the speed can help you do something better, then also capacity can be affected. So there are different ways by which capacity can be affected in your system, and one has to be very keen observer in terms of as an analyst also, one has to be very clear about what is that factor which is actually influencing the capacity of the system. So if you know that what is hitting, probably you can actually pinpoint the reason for hitting the capacity and focus on improving your capacities. Some of the considerations for good capacity utilization is accurate forecasting. World is thriving in that somebody comes up with a method where, and you say that okay, I can 100% forecast this model, or I can 100% challenge that this model is going to be used and this is going to be 100% accurate in terms of forecasting method. There has been challenges, there have been predictions, there have been models developed, but when it comes to customer behavior, geography, product technology, all that, this forecasting goes for a toss. Understanding the technology and capacity increments. So one has to have a solid understanding about the technology and what is the incremental capacity which is required, or what is that capacity, effective utilization of the capacity which is happening. If you understand all that, probably you will be in a position to consume the capacity to the optimum. Also, one has to identify what is the optimum operating levels. See, we are not talking about what is the maximum operating level. I am saying what is the optimum operating level which a system requires, so that you plan things and then work accordingly. Build for change. You have to keep that kind of flexibility in the system, so that you know that what is the kind of change which can be required and which can be built in the system, so that whenever there is a change in your process, in your product mix, in your product combination, or the process combination, or the work content, probably there is a need for capacity management, or capacity gets affected. So one has to be very clear that what is the kind of change one will have to bring in to manage that capacity, which is part of your capacity management scenario. So means of managing capacity. So there are a few means when you have when you are in the market, and suppose demand exceeds the capacity. So you have a capacity and your demand exceeds. So what do? So you have no other choice but to raise the price or increase your lead time. Suppose you are at one of the outlets of McDonald's, and suddenly you are there with six people to serve, and suddenly the demand exceeds. So there is no option but either means you can increase the price, or say to avoid your customers, or to say you will increase the lead time. So you will make your customers wait little more, and you'll say okay, you wait for some more time, and because of waiting time, probably some of the customers will automatically leave. So this is one of the methods of managing the capacity. I'm not saying this is a good marketing technique or tactic. We're only saying for managing the operation, well, one will have to think of something or the other. Second scenario could be capacity exceeds demand. So you have enough of capacity and you do not have demand. So when you do not have demand, you will see on the boards today or in the marketplace, you see that most of the shops have this discount strategy or price reduction or aggressive marketing that come by, this is the offer, last date, all that. So capacity is available but there is no demand. So when you create the demand by doing all that, so service peak and non-peak. So if you are in the service business, so there can be two scenarios in a day itself, or in during some of the hours you can have peak hours and non-peak hours. So during the peak hours you will have to manage your shift. So keeping shift rotation or moving the people by shift is the best method, that you know that okay, during the peak hours you need to have more people, and during non-peak hours probably you can reduce the staff. So that is a good method of managing the capacity in a service business. Demand increase. So increase your capacity by additional equipment or outsource it. When you say demand is increasing, and you also feel that there is going to be continuous increase in the demand, so you will have to also judge that this demand surge is temporary or permanent. If there is a permanent surge, then probably you increase your capacity by additional equipment, or you think of outsourcing it. Improving your process is another method of managing your capacity. The more you start controlling your processes, or you start improvising your processes, probably your capacity management also keeps on moving hand in hand. So better you will have your capacities managed. Redesign products to facilitate throughput. So sometimes there is a challenge with the product, or the product mix, or the product combination, or the product design. So in case there is a need for redesigning it, please redesign so that your throughput is better. Adding process flexibilities. One thing which is where the world is again moving is the flexibility in the processes. See, the moment you have a lot of rigidity in the processes, any change will have an adverse effect on the capacity. But if you can bring in flexibilities in the processes, there is a likely possibility of you managing the capacities better. So if you need to manage your capacities better, it is suggested that keep some flexibility in the process. Don't be very rigid. Capacity planning and variation in manufacturing setup and service unit. So this is another important area, because in terms of manufacturing capacity in the manufacturing plant, there can be a lot of issues, and what can be the issues, or what can be variation in the service unit. So capacity can also be increased by streamlining the workflow, or more work is completed in a given amount of time. So if you start working in such a fashion that your workers start delivering little more than what they used to deliver, you can increase your capacity. There always seems to be a lot of haziness around the capacity. So a lot of people are confused. They keep on asking that I'm running short of people, I'm running short of equipments. I would say that instead of running short on equipment and people, I think people start focusing on process. If people start focusing on the process, they may start feeling that they have excess of capacities. It could be even for your personal life, that you feel that you are not adequately equipped with a lot of things. But if you start planning things, probably you say that okay, you don't have time for anything and you are busy and you are earning enough. So capacity can be increased by increasing the resources required to process the work. Means it could be in terms of increasing machines or people, as well as by extending the time frame, or you increase the time frame. Like a simple example could be your projects. In your project management scenario, you have a project in hand, so and there are three pillars in the project. It could be cost, time and quality. So either you increase your people and machine and reduce your time, or you say that okay, I increase my time frame and please don't give me additional people. So but thereby you are anyway increasing your cost of project. So you'll have to keep in mind what is that which is getting factored or traded off when you talk about compromising on one thing or the other. And this is how you can still manage your capacity. Capacity levels. Now when you talk about capacity levels, there can be four different types of levels in the business, especially in the managerial responsibility role. One is the SBU, which is the strategic business unit, which talks about what is the kind of capacity or what is the authority on the capacities. You also can have the authority levels or the accountability level with regards to capacity, the branch, the team, the individual resource. All these are different capacity levels. Yeah, your branch can have little more capacities in terms of people, the resources, the equipment. The team can have little lesser, and the individual resource can have still less capacity, because he's individual and he doesn't have a team and all. Secondly, the output of his equipment could be little slower and lesser. So we don't know, but we're just judging based on certain opinions. Next is the process stage capacity. So when number of stages are more in a system, capacity at different stage should ideally be in balance. What we mean here is, see, for any process there can be different variation or stages. So when you have large number of or more number of stages, it is equally important to balance the capacity, that there is no waiting time or there is no inventory getting piled up in one of the WIPs, or you still manage the system in a simple way so that the capacity is not unmanaged. And it is, but if the process is simple, probably it is easy to manage, but if the process is complex, the challenge is high. Best example of allocation of manpower for maintenance, like, example is in a maintenance scenario, like plant maintenance. If number of people are less and if your process is simple, you still manage. But if there is no allocation of manpower, or if there is a shortage of manpower on some days, and if there is a machine problem or some problem, the challenge becomes huge. So process stages are there in maintenance. Probably if somebody is not getting into preventive maintenance and only breakdown maintenance, then probably you are a challenge. So different processes and different capacities can be linked, and people can identify that what is the what is the kind of stage one needs to focus on, and what is the kind of capacity one needs to work on. So that is what is process stage capacity. Especially in the services operations, this process capacity and process stage capacity means has to be worked out, and one has to pay attention on it. Capacity range and response. Capacity will not be constant at all the levels. We have discussed about four levels, that strategic business unit, or the branch level, or the team level, or the individual level. But capacity, as a matter of fact, will never be constant at all the level. It will be different. The variability in the execution of work by people and the equipment, it causes fluctuation. There is a fluctuation, means two people, same age group, same thing, but probably there can be variation in their output. Similarly, equipments, there can be variation in the equipment, or the fluctuation, there can be fluctuation in the output. Fluctuations on individual level on an hourly basis creates difficult situation. Now the scenario becomes even more challenging when you have two people and one is delivering little less and one is more. It becomes so obvious, but this is one of the difficult situation which as a manager one has to face. How far can a capacity be altered? Now one has to also check that how far can capacity be altered. So because capacity changing is not very easy. Capacity is a big thing, means top management decisions are involved in most of the capacity planning stages. And once the capacity is established, it is not easy to alter. And what is the effect on costing of changing the capacity? So you all know that the moment you change capacities, there is an effect on the cost. If you increase the capacity and if your volumes are not very high, probably cost can increase. But if you increase your capacity and if there is a substantial increase in your volume, if you have a better pricing strategy, probably you are a winner in the market. So you need to decide then how this costing has an impact on the capacity, and how easy is it to make that kind of change. So challenge is that you wish to make a change, but is it easy to make that change? Is it viable? Is it feasible? Or are you opening up too many gates and then probably you don't know which gate to be closed? So there are a lot of issues in terms of what is the kind of capacity, what is the kind of response from the market. And the response from the market is another very, very important challenge with regards to capacity. So all those scenarios in terms of fluctuation, in terms of individuals, variability, the scenario here is there is a lot of variation in the capacity management, in terms of capacity planning, in terms of demand management. So especially in the service, because of the unpredictability in the demand pattern, capacity management is a big challenge. We continue about this range and response. We also need to check, are there different cost and quality implications for the level of responses? Can there be different cost and quality implications with regards to level? So branch level, probably the cost and level could be different. At team level, it could be little different. And there is also a need to examine the range and response in relation to capacity for various level. So various levels, what is the kind of capacity one need to have? Means in a city, suppose if I say my SBU is in the city and know, probably capacity here is this, and my tier 2 city or tier 1 city has this kind of capacity. So I need to see that what is the kind of range I have for my capacity and what is the response I get in that scenario. There is a need to understand the available capacity and the potential capacity. So one is the available capacity, which is available, and if I do something here or there, can I increase my potential? But both these arrangements can be short term. So when you talk about arranging the capacity or increasing the capacity by using the or extending your potential, this is a short term objective. And probably for a long term, you will have to actually alter the capacity with some good capacity enhancement model. Some of the factors which influence capacity. So there are primarily three value adding activities. It could be improving, transferring and caretaking. Improving, transferring and caretaking. So three main influences which need to be understood, which relate to the work, is potential of the service delivery mechanism. Second, just having potential may not be enough. There must be a supply of factors to which value is being added. Third, condition of input elements to which value is being added. So if you understand all these factors, probably you need three values, value adding activities are happening. One is improving the potential, second is transferring, and third is the caretaking. We have been talking about capacity management, and here we are going to check or understand what limits this capacity. Basically, if you really wish to understand people, information, facilities, equipment and materials, probably any shortage in any of these things is one of the reasons for limiting the capacity. For example, the information element may be used to record time and frequency factors, including relevant services times, or identifying the resources, which is the limiting factor. So one has to actually focus that what actually limits my capacity. So sometimes it could be the method of information flow, or your process flow, or your demand, or your equipment, or your material. Anything can be responsible for limiting the capacity. This is important because you need to have a check on what are the factors which limit your capacity, because you have to optimize your capacity management. Understanding the demand pattern. See, in the service industry, this demand and demand pattern is very, very important and crucial. Knowledge of volume. What is the kind of volume you are going to get? What is the kind of variety? What is the kind of variation in the demand? If you have knowledge of all this volume, variety and variation, probably you can have a better capacity planning. So volume could be for 1 month or to a year. Variety could be range of services being offered. And when you talk about variation, so what is the kind of variation which can be there or which can be offered in terms of services? So operations managers must be able to translate the demand into some expression of work content. Means whatever the demand is coming, if the operations managers can convert that into some form of work content, then the amount of work which is required to produce the service, if they know that, then probably capacity planning can be done. So this is where we say, okay, one is just saying that demand is this and demand is that, but if you understand the demand and if you can convert that into work content, then you have better capacity planning. Capacity management by creating the balance. So there are basically different strategies to manage the capacities, and one of the areas is could be creating the balance. In the areas of production, we say uniform production method. So one, to hold the capacity steadily while influencing the demand. So there is a demand, but irrespective of what is the demand, you still hold your capacity steadily. You are not increasing or changing your capacities. So changing capacity to stay in line with the demand. The second method could be changing the capacity to stay in line with the demand. So you are changing your capacities just to ensure that you are meeting the demand. And most service providers can use a mix of steady capacity or changing capacity. So you will have to decide that which is the right strategy, what is the kind of business you are in, what is the kind of service you are in. The first is the chase strategy, wherein you are saying your demand is changing and therefore I am changing my capacity. So I don't know what is my demand pattern, and to meet my demand pattern, I am continuously altering my capacity. If I am continuously altering my capacity, I call it as chase strategy. Means my capacity is chasing the demand on a constant basis. So altering the number of service providers on an hourly basis or on part-time basis or whatever is as per your requirement, probably you do that to ensure that you manage your demand pattern. Or sharing capacity between different parts of the service delivery system. It could be transferring resources typically between backroom and front room. So if there is a need to send some people to the back office or front office, one has to have that kind of flexibility to have a chasing strategy. Using outside suppliers through subcontracting or leasing to provide resources. Or asking customers to provide more resources by way of self-service. So if you wish to create more capacity, why don't you ask customers to get into self-service mode? So this can be some of the options in terms of chase strategy. In terms of level strategy, you have to have a fixed capacity with you, and irrespective of whatever the demand is, you have to keep on having the same capacity. So there can be demand variation, but your capacity is same. So when you have price change or advertising and promotion or developing off-peak demand, use of appointment and reservation systems, making customers queue for the service. So when you have this, when you have a level capacity, or level capacity strategies are increasingly linked to yield management system where effective capacity is constrained. For example, in an airline industry or hotels and car rentals, level strategy is fine because you have fixed plane. You know that this is the kind of planes I have and I cannot. You can maneuver with the available capacity, but you still have fixed capacity there. Or hotel rooms are fixed in number, so irrespective of. But there is a challenge when you have price change. There is a challenge when there is an advertising and promotion. There is a challenge in terms of seasons, all that. Yeah. So the strategy which could be used in terms of facing those challenges could be coping strategy. So as a precursor to developing a coping strategy, it is obvious that any service provider should fine-tune their own combination of chase and level strategy. So coping strategy is nothing but it is a mixture of chase and level. So improving their forecasting capabilities or capacities. So how do you improve your forecasting capacity is your own choice based on the type of business, based on the type of forecasting model which you used to use. Second is setting clear service quality targets. See, when you talk about service and capacity, quality is another parameter which gets into the system. Because if you are delivering that, okay, my quality targets are this, so probably your capacity requirements could vary based on the quality requirements. Setting clear resource productivity targets, understanding critical and hygiene dimensions of the service quality, understand the possible failure points in the service delivery, and understand the bottlenecks in the service delivery system. So if you understand all this, then probably you are in a position to use your coping strategy. When a chase strategy becomes level in short term, because of effective capacity cannot be increased to meet demand, usually because this would lead to underutilization of resources. What I mean to say is, your chase strategy is there and you need to have some level because there is a demand, constant demand. Then probably because you are with the chase strategy, which is chasing the demand, you have very limited resources, probably you are at a challenge. Sometimes with a level strategy, you are not in a position to utilize your resources 100%. So when a chase strategy becomes level, because it is not possible to reduce the level of the resources any lower in the short term, or when a level strategy fails to stipulate demand or overlooks or overbooks, or when a so what I am trying to tell you is, when do you use coping strategy? So when your chase strategy is not working, or when your level strategy is not working fully, you can use the combination of either a straight chase strategy or a level strategy. I'm sure with this you have got some more idea about what is capacity management and what are the challenges with the capacity in terms of chase strategy, level strategy, coping strategy, also in terms of capacity management with regards to change in the demand patterns. So this creates a very excited scenario for an operations manager to manage this capacity in terms of peak hours, non-peak hours, and For a service business, as I have told you, capacity is also linked with cost. So, you know, capacity management becomes important, and it actually helps you in making a great business decision with regards to capacity utilization and effective utilization of the capacities. Thank you very much.